Christian hit music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Listeners, we thank God for another Saturday. This is Eben, and I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. It's always a privilege to come your way on Saturday evenings. Last week, I started talking about the need for evangelism, the souls that we are not thinking about, and it's such a serious issue. So I promise that I'll be continuing for some weeks as we address this all important thing. But tonight I have a special guest joining me, so I'll introduce her as the show goes on, because we had some discussion last week after the program and I felt led that I should get her on board to come and address something. And I believe you are all going to be blessed as you listen to her as we discuss and talk about this very important issue of evangelism, which virtually is becoming a dying word in modern day Christianity. And we can say we are guilty in various ways, but I believe for the topic to come up in times like these means we have to redeem ourselves and do what we have to do. The song that just played, the words are very touching and very worrying. Let me quickly run through it, because you know there are times I listen to this particular song and tears fill my eyes, because that's the reality of what we are doing now as Christians. The word says that, oh suffering soul, crying out for love in a world that seldom cares. See the hungry hearts longing to be filled much more than our prayers. And a young girl sells herself on 7th Avenue, like I'm in a prostitute joint in the US, and you hear her crying out for help. Quote, my God, what will we do? Then the chorus says, don't tell them Jesus loves them till you are ready to love them too. That's a very serious statement. Don't tell them Jesus loves them till you are ready to love them too. Till your heart breaks from the sorrow and the pain they go through. They are going through. With a life full of compassion, may we do what we must do. Wow. Don't tell them Jesus loves them till you are ready to love them too. Then the next verse. Oh, the desperate man. Are we reaching for the souls that are sinking down in sin? Oh, cry for the child. We've lost our passion for the lost, and there are billions left to win. And another 40,000 children starve to death today. Would we risk all we have to see what of them say? And then it says that, why have we waited so long to show them Jesus lives? To share salvation's song. Why have our hearts become so proud that we fail to see? To love them is to love God. That's very true. To love them is to love God. And a young girl sells herself on 7th Avenue. Hear her crying out for help. What will we do? And this is the reality of the world we are in and the society we are in. And lack of interest and lack of passion or compassion for the lost out there. So I'll be talking about it, or we'll be talking about it as I introduce a guest as well. But a quick run through some of the news happening this week. Now, the U.S., this tension is brewing between Texas and the Biden administration. And it's quite an interesting turn of events because, you know, for those who have been following the U.S. news, you have this massive influx of migrants crossing southern border from Mexico into U.S. And then the Texas governor decided to block, fix, tents and meshed fences, along sharp razor fences along some places to block them. And the government, the federal government says, no, they will go to court, and then the court says, no, they should be removed. But the Texas government says they won't remove it. And just this evening, that's one news item, says another governor, Idaho governor, sends troopers to Texas. So, and then there's a tracker convoy of patriots on their way to block the border. Now, some are getting worried that this can become a civil war issue because it's like the way the tension is pitching. And then you have this issue of Russia's top diplomats is accusing U.S., South Korea, and Japan of preparing for war with the North Korea. That's something else. And, you know, we've not finished analyzing the effect of the two wars we have on our hands now in the world. In the Middle East one, that's the Israel, Gaza, by extension, Iran, and through the Houthi rebels in Yemen, then southern Lebanon, the Hezbollah, you know, all these tensions, and the Syria and all that. You see, so that's a very complicated one that can explode into something much bigger. And then we have already the bigger one, Russia, Ukraine, which seems to be going nowhere, stalemate, and they keep, you know, destroying each other, killing and destroying planes, shooting down armor and all. But these wars are already causing effects in various parts of the world. But then to extend it, now the tension between North Korea has also done another missile test, and their ultimate aim is to target America. Ultimately, they don't hide it, they say it openly. And so for North Korea, there are two main enemies, South Korea and then the United States, and they keep doing their missiles, they are testing. Now Russia is saying that US, South Korea and Japan are preparing to have an encounter with North Korea. Interesting. Then we have an ally of Putin who is also warning that Texas border crisis could spiral into civil war in America. Now, in Israel, senior Israeli officials are warning that Iran is now a legitimate target for Israeli missile strikes. And that is a big one indeed, because that one changes the whole game if they dare attack Iran, because the ripple effect is going to be massive, because Hezbollah is aligned to Iran, the Houthi rebels in Yemen aligned to Iran. So any attempt to attack Iran directly by Israel means all these groups are also going to arise and then directly come at Israel. And it's something. Hezbollah claims they have over 150,000 missiles, and majority of them already pointing towards Israel. So as and when they fail like activating them, they will do so. And we all know the consequences of these things. And actually, the Israeli defense systems can be overwhelmed. In as much as they have a good defense system, when you have far more missiles than the systems can accommodate, certainly the system will be overwhelmed. So it's the tension doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon in the Middle East. Okay, then we have this news that also talks of the AI. The future of artificial intelligence is looking more biblical by the hour. AI is becoming a big worry, because this week there was one big news of a celebrity who in the US who they used AI to generate her images, which are very obscene, sort of. And it's bringing issues as to the regulation of AI and how it can be used to destroy people's lives. Because now the technology exists where they can pick your picture from the social media, on the internet, and now use your images, simulate it into anything they want to do with your picture. And it's being used to now blackmail people. So, for instance, they take a picture of someone, and then now they use your image, simulate you into a video of, let's say, an adult movie, and now blackmail you that this is you. If you don't pay X amount of money, they are going to circulate it on the internet. And they look so real that you cannot tell people that this is not me. People will not believe you. So, and there have been cases where they tried it on some students in the US to blackmail them and all. And now the bigger worry, after it came out this week, what they did on Taylor Swift's video images is becoming a worry now, that this technology is going to be destructive as well as manipulative. So, you know, the worrying trend of AI and the expanse as to how far it can go, all sorts of things is becoming worrying, because now simulating, you can create all sorts of images out of it and all. So, well, we are living in very serious times. A few weeks ago, I remember I was warning about, yes, we have the trend now where we put our pictures online, social media, people take their pictures, share it. But with the way AI is going, it will be advisable if ladies especially will be mindful of how the pictures they post online. Because now these things can easily, your pictures can be taken and then it's used in videos which you were not in anyway, but now it will be released that is you. Because they have pictures of you, a whole lot of pictures, especially those who keep every Sunday after church, they post pictures every Sunday, a lot of pictures. You know, I was reading one cybersecurity article, and they said that the more the pictures, the better the simulation. So for those who keep uploading their pictures online all the time, it's time to be aware of the fact that now they can be used against you in a very negative way. Oh yes, we are not in normal times. We are in evil times where people think evil of you and doing evil just for the, you see, those that we have, those who do evil for money, to make money out of it. But then the most irritating set of evil doers is those who do evil just for the fun of it. And for those people, they don't care. They don't have any reputations to protect. They don't care who you are. They are just out there to just cause damage and just laugh out of it. And I believe it's time people become more advised in terms of the pictures they post online. I mean, there's so many pictures of you online. Once they have more pictures of you, well, they can do anything against you. And just, this is just an advisory warning. Not compulsory, of course, but, well, it's safer. I know people who don't, even for me, my WhatsApp now, I don't even use my picture on WhatsApp, the profile picture again. You know, a lot of people, because you see, the way the thing is going now, we have to be wise in so many ways. Oh, yes, we have to be very wise in so many ways. All right. We have this Netanyahu, that's the Israeli Prime Minister. Officials are now, some are now suggesting that he should be removed as prime minister, because the way the war is going is becoming something that is a bit worrying now. But at least this good news, I call it good news, because Florida is making moves to ban children under 16 from social media. And this is so important, and it's very good, because, you know, for those who have listened to this program times past, we've talked about the digital parenting, the harm, the effects on the children, the psychological aspect of the social media on them. And you see, even adults, the effects on adults is real. You know, the brain is getting manipulated to become addictive to social media by the way it's been designed. I mean, I talked about it some time back. And, you know, as drug addicts or drug users take drugs and the way they feel, that same effect is what happens when people are on social media and are looking out for likes and get excited when they feel the likes, the feeling that you get is that same feeling that drug users are also getting. And, you know, they call it dopamine. It's in the a chemical in the brain, one of the chemicals in the brain. And that aspect of it, the effect of it, makes it worrying to psychologists and neuroscientists and all, because if the feelings that you get from social media can be likened to the feelings that drug users get, and that makes them addictive or addicted to the drugs, then that is a worrying sign. So if you are in the teenage, if teenagers are even getting hooked to it more now in their early ages, then what future lies ahead for them? And that's a serious issue, because we have now, you look at secondary school students who, for whatever reason, are having smartphones, and then you see how they are just getting addicted to it. It's serious. This issue, in the course of this year, God willing, we'll be talking about it as again extensively. I'll be having some panelists as we talk about this issue, because we have to keep talking about it over and over, because people are really not understanding the danger so well. Some think it's just being, oh, we are just taking it to the stream. But it's for their own safety. It's for their own safety and for you, your own sound mind and peace of mind as a parent. Because when it gets to the extremes and things get overboard and out of hand, the same problem now becomes your headache. And now you'll be running to prayer camps and fasting and waiting on the Lord and all nines and seeking prophets. But if you had done the right things at the right time as a parent, controlling the usage of devices, you would not have gotten your child into the mess they would have gotten into down the line. So when we talk about these things, it's not just about, you don't want them to enjoy life and technology. No, nobody is saying they shouldn't enjoy life and technology. But things should be regulated. The regulation is where parents are lacking. And some are struggling to regulate because they lack the requisite knowledge in doing it and how to manage it themselves. So I believe some of these things, when we talk about it, is for our own good. Okay, and we have this news, this headline says, Christian radio ministry drops Pastor Alistair Begg from programming lineup after he suggested that Christians could attend same-sex weddings to build bridges with culture. I mean, attend wedding, that wedding or those weddings for what? Build bridges with culture. And what that culture, why would you want to build bridges with it? What's there to build? And, you know, this afternoon I had a friend in Texas who called and we were chatting. Then this issue came up, and they say, oh, he's changed his job, like he was fired. I said, oh. So he was telling me why he got sacked. He said he's a senior officer, and then his a junior worker was gay. Now he's no longer there. He was gay, and apparently the recruitment that they had to do in the department, the gay guy was bringing only gays to the recruitment. And when he had to oversee and approve the interviews for people to be employed in the department, the people who didn't qualify, he, of course, have to say that, no, they don't qualify. But then this junior worker now files a complaint to the bosses that he's rejecting them based on his anti-gay stance as a Christian. And they didn't even give him any fair hearing. They just sacked him after working with them for 8 years, very hard working and all. They sacked him just because they said he's denying them employment because he's a Christian and he hates them. You know, this. So the reality of this thing out there is something. But you realize Christians are just being in these advanced countries. It's very unfortunate for Christians how they are being pushed to the limits by some of these decisions, and people have to be forced. I have this other friend in the US. When we talk on phone, we speak some of these things in tree, because she doesn't even want to say it in English for someone to become. Wait, I said, Charlie, you people, what you say? Because you see, this is the world. I mean, where you say something and it's like it's now used against you, hate speech, you are this, you are that, and all that. But, well, we shouldn't be surprised as Christians when we see and hear some of these things, because the Bible forewarned us ahead of time. So when we see these things, one thing that should come up in our minds is the fact that the word of God is true, because that's the only way to understand the times we are in. And I believe these are the reasons why we should even be more serious with the discussions we are talking about of, soul winning, the lost, evangelism, missions, all these things. And that's why this evening I'll be talking about it with Alice, as that's her nickname, as she's popularly called. She's been on this, not on my show or this program, but on other programs on Spirit FM, Ancient Words and others. The name itself is Madame Alice Wharton Sapong. But my Alice is what we, that's the common one that she easily moves with. So we'll be talking about it, the evangelism, the mission. So let's retrace it to last week's conversation after Issues of Life. She sent me a message that I should call, and that is why we got into the conversation. And I believe that is something that is going to bless all of us, and we'll move on from there. So let her introduce herself, and then we move on. So good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Eben.
You're welcome.
I am Evangelist Alice Fuentes Sapong, a.k.a. Ma Alice. And the ministry I work with is called John the Baptist Evangelistic Ministries.
Okay.
Okay. Attend church at CCC.
Oh, okay. So last week I was talking about lack of compassion for the lost, lack of interest in evangelism now as Christians, and we spoke after the program.
Okay.
You shared two very important things, encounters you had.
Okay.
And I felt led that no, we should share it to the larger audience.
Okay.
So let's start from there.
The revelations.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I had a revelation. And in the revelation, there was a throne. It was like a judgment seat with the judge on the throne. And many people around it, countless people, you can't count them. So as I watched, I saw two people brought before the judgment seat. The first one was an elderly man, about 80 years. And then the one who sat on the throne, the judge, asked this man, "What did you do with church?" This was the very words he asked him. "What did you do with church?" And the man bowed in shame. That 80-year-old man, he bowed in shame because he didn't go to church. As I was standing by, I told the person on the seat, the judge, that I will preach the gospel to him. So please have mercy on him. And then the judge shouted on me, "Keep quiet. Who are you to speak here? Here we don't speak for anybody. If you want to preach the gospel, you must preach it in the world where you will live."
Wow.
And I was shivering. The voice was very, very, very powerful.
Yeah.
So I kept quiet. I was put to shame. Mm-hmm. I was ashamed myself. Say, "Hey, why did I speak?" And then they asked, who were the Christians living around where this 80-year-old man was? They were called.
Mm.
And he said their blood will be required from them.
Wow.
So I just watched. And then that scene went off. And then a second person was brought before the throne.
Yeah.
And then he was holding his file. When he opened, he said, "You went to church. You attended church regularly. You were in the men's fellowship. Everything in the church," I think he did it. But he asked him, "When I blessed you with money, what did you do? You went and you farmed with it. You made cocoa farm with it. How many cocoa trees followed you to this place?"
Hey.
And the man also bowed in shame. That one, yeah, didn't talk. So he bowed and said, I was expecting you to use the money to support ministry, evangelism, missions, but you didn't. You use it to farm, cocoa farm. You made big cocoa farm for yourself. How many trees followed you? So when I came out of the revelation, I realized that we need to be committed to evangelism. Because when you are entering eternity, I believe that souls should follow you. Souls you have won, they should follow you. That's what Bible says, that
your works will follow.
Yes, he who wins a soul is wise. So we have to be wise about soul winning.
So the second one, the other one, is that you knew the man.
I knew the man.
So cautioned.
I went and told you, this is what I saw about him. And now he's a Christian. He has opened this then some fellowship in his home. He's in Tema now. And then he teaches the Bible like now a pastor.
Wow.
Yes, he has many disciples. Sometimes, this Christmas, he sent me a photo of their picture.
Programs.
A picture of the, they were having party.
Oh, okay.
The fellowship, and he sent me. So I think that we shouldn't play with evangelism or soul winning. It's very...
Let me just read this so that you continue. Okay. Exodus. Ezekiel 33, mm-hmm. verse 6. Mm-hmm. But if the watchman see the sword come, mm-hmm. and blow not the trumpet, mm-hmm. and the people be not warned, mm-hmm. if the sword come and take any person from amongst them, mm-hmm. he is taken away in his iniquity, mm-hmm. but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Mm-hmm. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, mm-hmm. for you may be house of Asokwa, mm-hmm. the area of Dabai, area of Bantama. Or your home, your family house, your class, your office department. You are the one, the watchman assigned to that place. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word out of my mouth and warn them from me. Verse 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And let's look at the word delivered thy soul, which is a very strong word. You have delivered your soul by virtue of the fact that you warned, and the person didn't heed to the warning. So you've delivered yourself
from it.
Wow, a serious warning there. And I believe we've had this verse, or these verses speak to the fact that blood will be required. Blood will be required.
But how many Christians have that passion to go out and share the gospel?
Yeah, that's why we are talking about it. We have to talk about it. And the know-how. You see, I believe, as we said last week in the conversation, the know-how is also the challenge for some people.
Yes, the know-how.
The know-how. And actually, that's one of the reasons why I wanted her to come, because her ministry...
Evangelism school.
They teach evangelism. It's a non-profit thing. Free, absolutely free. The only thing is there. But even that, I've gotten someone who is going to cater for the registration for those who want to sign up.
Okay.
So let's talk about it.
Okay.
And then we get people who are interested in
John the Baptist Evangelistic Ministries. We have a branch, and that is the School of Ministry, John the Baptist School of Ministry. Now, what we do in this ministry is that school is that it is held 3 times in a year. We have February, March. We have June, July, and then September, October, so that people can register. You see, maybe you have your leave around June. Somebody may have his or so. We want everybody to have time to study evangelism. And then when you come, the registration is 30 Ghana cedis for your T-shirts.
Which in this case has been taken
care of. No tuition fee, handouts free. We have both theories and then practicals. Will take you out. And then when you come, we teach you how to do evangelism. We teach you, in fact, your character. We shape your character. You have character study of John the Baptist. And when you go through that character study, you will be transformed. Because your character alone speaks a lot.
Yeah.
For example, if you're a liar, how can you share the gospel? You don't have any impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what the first lesson is about the Christian character. Your boldness. By the time we are done with you, you have the boldness to speak. You have the grace, and you'll be committed to it. So we just want to throw an invitation to the listeners of Issues of Life.
Yeah.
That if you want to register your T-shirt, hello, that's all. Even we do the printing 10 CDs for you.
Yeah, and that's why I said someone is paying for that. So now technically the listeners of Issues is free, even the third. So someone is paying for that as well. So
and then we are located. I'll come back the location.
Yeah, location. Yeah,
we are located at Stadium Sobolo.
Okay,
there's the stadium. We have a community called Sobolo.
Sobolo.
That's where we work. That's where we work. So if anybody is, we direct the people to Sobolo Main Station.
Okay.
That is the Manguase. That's the popular name. If you get there, we have our boys there. They will bring you to the auditorium where we have the school, so that nobody get lost.
So it's for 8 weeks.
8 weeks, eight consecutive Sundays, not weeks.
Okay, yes, Sunday.
We work only on Sundays, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. after church.
So 4 to 6 p.m. Yeah,
yes, please.
8 conservative Sundays.
Sundays. We don't want you to miss one.
Yeah.
So because if you miss one, it will affect you.
So it's a crash course in 8 weeks.
8 weeks, both theories and practical.
So eight lessons, let's put it that way, or eight meetings.
Yes.
So 2 hours per session.
You'll be served water, bottled water free.
So virtually, listeners of Issues, everything is free. The only thing is your time and your commitment is what is needed to go and acquire knowledge in evangelism.
It's not a Bible school.
Yeah.
It's just
for evangelism.
Evangelism.
Yes, practical.
When you complete, we give you a certificate as a soul winner, not an evangelist, because an evangelist is an office
of
that God himself will put you there. Yeah. But to become a soul winner, at least you're a disciple, you can witness wherever you are. Mm-hmm.
And as I said, there are people who, that's their main challenge. The boldness, the know-how. Some genuinely want to do evangelism, but then how to go about it.
And also the messages.
How to say.
So we have planned it in such a way. See, when you read the Bible, if you're a student of the Bible, you will know that when Jesus is given a parable, he starts from earthly and then he brings in the spiritual truth. Yeah. That's why we have written about 20 messages.
Okay.
Those you understand, you use to witness. It will help you. And as you partner with the Holy Spirit, he will also give you additional messages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll not be limited.
Yeah.
You know what to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, listeners, you see, this is an important discussion we are having, because it's one of the key things that we've neglected, as I've been saying in the last week, and then this evening we are talking about. And for those who would want to learn, you know, Sunday workers, you can, because Monday to Friday that you go to work. Mm-hmm. So for workers, you'll be able to, two hours. These 2 hours, somebody will be using it to watch football. So sacrifice 8 weeks of not watching football to learn and gain insight into how to win souls.
Mm-hmm.
That will give you eternal rewards. Mm-hmm. I mean, the football will not follow you into heaven.
You are taught. When you go to gathering, you'll be taught, even at funerals, how to win souls.
Okay.
At gatherings, birthday parties, wherever you are, because you have been trained.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, normally, we teach you in such a way that you'll greet the person. We teach facial expression and that.
Yeah.
You'll be able to do it. Mm-hmm. You won't be, because we do the demonstration in the classroom.
Yeah.
You do the demo before you go out, otherwise you can't do it. So even in the classroom, some people find it difficult.
Yeah.
So we'll do the demonstration in the classroom before we take you out. We'll do it for you to see. It's very, very practical.
Yeah.
Evangelism made simple, easy for you. Mm-hmm. So please.
Yeah. So listeners, I mean, as I said, the cost has been taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are interested in being part of the next session,
it's 4th February, please.
Starting 4th February.
First Sunday in February.
First February. So,
Fourth February. First Sunday in February.
Mm. So, for those interested, please take this number 0243 0243 236 488.
Yes.
Let me repeat, 0243 236 488. So for issues of life, listeners interested, send me a message. I mean, my number 0244 638 757. 0244 638 757, that's my number. So for listeners interested in being part of this lesson or this course, get in touch with me, let me know, so that I can, because someone is paying for, so I have to know the numbers involved, and then it will be sorted out. So virtually you are just partaking of the session without paying anything.
And if you can't make it this February,
the next session is
June, July, September, October, so the whole year.
At least let's the interest should be there. Let's get the interest in this. See, it's a very serious issue we are talking about, because it borders on eternity.
Mm.
It borders on life and death. Mm. It borders on how people are going to spend forever. And that is no simple issue at all. And the two revelations that she shared, the second one, she knows the person personally, a relative. So fortunately, the person was alive. So she was able to go and warn the person that this is what I saw about you. So put your house in order. We thank God that, I mean, he did. And see, but the first one, the threatening part is the people in the man's community. The man's blood will be required from their hands.
The Christians.
And actually, that's what Ezekiel talks about. Because you see, so, I mean, God will ask this. Who were the Christians in the man's area? That they never, this 80-year-old man, if the man, let's say, lived in that community all through the life, or at least till the point of his death, what were the Christians doing that they didn't invite him, share the gospel with him? And it's a serious issue.
But he has also heard about church. And I'm talking about, why didn't he go?
Yeah, but that's true. But God says he's also going to hold those. So now, as to whether if you share the gospel and he rejected you, then now and then
you
developed your soul, you've delivered your soul, as Ezekiel talks. But those who didn't, did you see the man? Did you greet him? Yes, I did. But why didn't you share the gospel with him?
But you know,
I said, oh, I didn't know he needed it. Or I didn't see he didn't need it. You see, these are very serious discussions, because you see, at the end of the day, these verses are often not talked about. Ezekiel 33, it's very worrying when you really read it and study it. So most believers don't even want to go there at all. But then it will play out eventually. You know, as I shared last week of the dream I had of a neighbor who died and was questioning me in the dream why I didn't share the gospel with him. Because we talked about all other things except Christ. And that's the seriousness of it. You see, and I believe a lot of people...
So you have a blood to answer.
Oh yes, so we have to... I have to overdo to compensate for the losses, because that's the only way you can do whatever. That's the only way, because for listeners... I believe almost all listeners, if you are to think about the fact that there are people you know who have died, who you should, but you didn't. And last week I asked a question, is someone cursing you, mentioning your name in hell, insulting you in hell, blaming you in hell for they being in hell, especially knowing that they know you know they were not Christians, but you were silent and you looked on? You know, that's the seriousness of it. It's, I mean, if they knew they should have been Christian, why didn't they on their own to become Christians? But now the reality has come in. They can't make that choice again. So now the blame has to be put on someone. And you see, the comforting part of the Ezekiel verse is, if you warn the person and he didn't take heed, you've escaped. So now that one, the blood cannot be on, because you did your part and the person insulted you or
rejected it.
So that one, you did your part. But if you didn't, then you have no excuse. And that is what we should avoid now. Avoid the issue of somebody ever slipping into hell and our name will be on his lips forever, saying that this friend, this relative, this mate didn't tell me, he knew I was going to hell and didn't tell me. It's a very serious thing, because, you know, for instance, this neighbor I'm talking about, when he died, when my wife told me the man had died, apparently in the night they rushed him and I didn't hear, but so when I got to know the man had died, immediately I just know. I mean, you know, it's spiritual. You see, we are spiritual beings, so you can. I just knew that
there's
this is. Oh yeah, I just knew.
Go to hell.
I knew. And then, so when the dream came a few days afterwards, I wasn't surprised. And so it's like, this is an issue that we don't talk about, we don't want to think about, but it's going to play out. Years back, I listened to Ben Hinn. He was talking about this old woman on his street. And she mentioned, he mentioned the name, Kra, then. And said, you greeted the woman, like neighbor. And then the woman died and said he heard God tell him strictly, I would account, I would require her blood from your hands.
Hey.
He said it's like the voice was so audible. God said it clearly, I would require her blood from your hand. So he said that for him, the only thing he can do now is to work extra to compensate for
those
that blood.
Mm.
I mean, we don't know God's formula of judgments, but then if you know of such a thing, the wisest thing you can do is to cover up and like make more positives to undo,
ask for forgiveness first,
of course, yes,
and then
because it's an omission that we've, and it's an error, a grave error in the first place. But then we should not be in such a situation and still shut our hearts and our minds and go back to sleep again. We cannot. I mean, that means you worsen your explanation on that day to God, because after knowing that you've made this error, what again did you do to rectify that error? Did you continue looking on whilst the same people you knew who were not saved kept dying, gone too soon? What a shock, too soon. You see the posters, and nothing is moving you to, at least those alive, what can I do to save the situation before they also go? And these are the realities. You see, the song that I played before the program said, we've lost our passion for the Lord. Now, it's as if Christians have no passion again. Some years back, someone said, even pastors are not winning souls again.
Many churches.
And it's true, because now even altar calls are not being done in churches again. I remember years back in the 90s, in the 2000s, altar call, there are a lot of churches, every Sunday, altar call, because perhaps a new person has come and is not saved. Now even altar call, you don't hear altar call in churches again. So it's as if we've just concluded everybody is saved in the church. So even when you see, if you're a pastor, listening to me, a deacon, elder, whatever, and you see new faces in church on a Sunday, and you can close church without doing an altar call, then there's something wrong. For you know, God led that person to come to church that day, to come and hear the word and be changed and be saved. And yet, these souls come, they pass through the churches, we do nothing about them, they go and they don't come again. Some will walk out of the church and go and die, because that was the only opportunity left. That was virtually the last option. And you, the pastor, he came, you saw this as a new person, you'd never seen the face in church before, yet you didn't preach the gospel to the person, you didn't do altar call, and then this person leaves, walks away. You know, I've been having a number of interactions with the Holy Spirit on these issues, and one question that came up this week, Sunday morning. I normally do early morning exercise before I go to church and all that. So while I was going out for the early morning walk, the question was, if the church in Kumasi wants to get the city saved, it's very easy for us to do. Then he started giving me the details. He said, if for the next four Sundays, all churches that are spirit-filled churches, all churches, decide to go to church, pray briefly, go out, all churches, in the whole city, all churches are, imagine if all churches in the city are doing evangelism for the next four Sundays. Everywhere you pass, this person, stubborn people, you sit in church, the word is, you walk here, people will be saved everywhere. Because the church hasn't, we are not going out, that's why people are not saved. One, we are not praying, and then we are not going out. So pray if the church
souls to be saved.
Is to do this, if the church is to do these two things, pray, go out, and not just one church, all churches in the city, mission, especially this month, we are all going out. The city will turn for Christ. You read the book of Acts, few apostles were able to turn the city upside down.
Eben, you see, as we are talking, we don't have evangelism day. I think the church should have one day or one Sunday, because we have men's fellowship day, we have pastors appreciate, we have many things.
Yeah.
Women's fellowship, why not evangelism Sunday?
Because we don't even think about it. We don't see it as a priority. You see, there's something wrong. Then the next question was, churches were filled 31st. Every 31st, churches get filled. Now, the souls that come, we are in end of January.
Yes.
How many of those souls are in church as of now? Who is doing any follow-up and discipleship? It's like we just do the routine. We write the names. That is it. We write the names. We put it somewhere. So the churches, people listening, pastors, deacons listening to me this evening, the people who came to your church 31st and flooded the room was filled to capacity. Where are those souls who gave their lives to Christ on that night? Where are they? Who is monitoring and following up and visiting them? How many of them have come again since that time? And what has been done to ensure that they are still... You see, so at the end of the day, even when God is to judge us for the souls that slipped through our hands, not that those that we didn't even go for, those that he God brought to us, he God led them to us,
the church.
And then we let them slip through our hands. We couldn't even hold them and keep them, to nurture them, to disciple them. You see, this verse has been ministering to me in the last few days a lot. John 15, when Jesus talked about the fact that he is the vine, we are the 15. Branches. 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruits. And now this is the key part. And that your fruit should remain. So over the years, you see, we have churches are just interested in bringing forth fruit. Oh, end of the year, there will be a report. We did crusades and 2,000 people gave their lives to Christ. But how many of the 2,000 have remained? Christ is not interested. You see, another statement the Holy Spirit gave me was, Jesus talked of the parable where it says the 99
and, they left,
and then the
left.
One. The church is interested in the 99, while Jesus is interested in the one. So we are focusing on the 99, and Jesus is expecting us to go for the one, and that one to say we will not go. But the interesting thing is, Jesus is no longer interested in the 99 because they're already in his camp. But the one out there that he expects, that we should rather go for, we say no, we'll not go. We want to keep the 99 and keep overfeeding them with the word. And this is how serious this issue is. So our priorities have shifted to more of convenience, because it's very convenient to just gather the 99 and preach to them, gather the 99, minister to them, than to go out and look for the one who, for whatever
people
reason,
they
maybe
don't have time. Oh, time. When you ask them, why are you not witnessing? They say, time. Oh, I have to go to work.
But these same people have time for all other things. Mm.
So it's a matter of priority.
It's a matter of, you see, I believe one prayer I have started praying, and we should be praying, is God should change our hearts. Because the change should start from us first. Because if we are not changed, how can we be change agents? So we need to be changed, and our hearts to be changed, because we need that spirit of compassion. If it's not, you don't have it. You don't care. They are going to hell, and so what? I mean, it's like, what's the big deal? But you see, when that compassion is there, then now we see them. We don't see the people walking as human beings. We see them as souls going to hell. Souls screaming out for help, as the song said. You see, so these are souls. We should see them as souls needing help. But we can only see them as souls needing help if our hearts have been broken. And we are not like stubborn hearts. We don't care. We don't have feelings again. And the song said that if we shouldn't tell them Jesus loves them if we ourselves are not ready to love them. So we need love. The love of Christ should be in us. before we can love them. Because without the love, what's the use of evangelism? What's the use of making... We can't make an impact if there's no love. Mm-hmm. You see, so at the end of the day, this is how serious this issue is. Listeners, and I believe... Okay, I think someone sent a message.
And if we are going out to cry, what are they going to share? Because many of them don't know what they are going
to
share.
Yeah, so that's why they have to learn. So someone says, I'm listening to Issues of Life and I'm interested in the School of Soul Winning. Okay, so thank you. Please send your name as well, the message. So add your name to it so that I can document, like list the names. So that we can have those interested. So
and also the time, the month, whether February is coming for February or...
Yeah, at least first one's first, February 1st.
Before. Okay.
Yeah, so the first edition or the first session. So if you are interested, kindly send me a message, your name, and then I can collate the list of those interested. I believe we need to prioritize ourselves this year in terms of how we put spiritual things in our shadows. Because at the end of the day, you see, life is too fragile and too short that, you know, you see that when people die, nothing counts again. You know, this evening I met a lady friend who lost her husband last year. Oh. They were all friends, young lady, our age, same age. We were mates on campus.
Oh.
So we were chatting and like about how like it's God who has sustained her in terms of the
shock.
The hair. Because people are even amazed as to how she's able to go through the pain of losing the husband at this young age and all. And you see, and she made a statement just this evening before I came to this. She said, this, I mean, you realize that life, all other things doesn't matter again. And she said, you see, and that's the truth. All other things doesn't matter again. Because, I mean, last 2 weeks, I lost an in-law, relative, a brother-in-law. And you see, the more I think about it, you see, you realize if we don't set our priorities right, we'll get to the point where it's like, and then, what did you do with your life? You see, and these are the questions when God is asking us on the judgment day.
What did you do with
people
Christ?
People will be found wanting.
What did you do with Christ?
The Christ that God gave, I mean, you had. What did you do? You see, because he's expecting more from us. But it's as if we think, it's, I get Christ for myself and that is enough and that is fine. But this is where the danger lies, and that's what I'm talking about, that you having Christ is not enough. Others too should have it through you. And that's why we are talking about this evangelism and the need to learn if you need to be equipped. And time is just flying so fast. But so the number, Ma Alice's number, 0243-236-488. And because someone is paying for listeners of issues, kindly alert, send me to, like, so that I have... I can have the number who are signing up. So my number 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. Contact me, send me your interest, like your name, and then I can have the number and then we'll sort it out. So God bless you. Thank you for listening. God willing, I'll be continuing this edition as I'm talking on like this series on evangelism. And I believe we are all going to be blessed as we keep doing what has to be done. So good night and God bless you.
Bye-bye.